predestination or free will.
The verse nobody owns.
God chooses. We choose. Both sentences are in your Bible, and faithful Christians have read them differently for centuries. Here are the texts.
You hold the pen.
Two sentences, same Bible. Here's a thing that trips up a lot of new believers. Open your Bible to one page, and it sounds like God picked you before you existed. Flip to another, and it sounds like the whole thing hangs on your choice. And both pages are true. They're both in there. Nobody snuck one in. So which is it? Did God choose you, or did you choose him? People have been wrestling with that exact question for roughly 1,500 years. Smart, prayerful, Jesus-loving people. They still don't agree. That should make you slow down, not panic. Let's actually look. The God chose first verses. Start with the heavy hitter. Paul writes a chain of words that feels like a freight train. Romans 8 verses 29 to 30. The famous golden chain foreknew, predestined, called, justified, glorified. Every link is something God does. Read it again. Notice who the subject of every verb is. It's God. He foreknew. He predestined. He called.
Then Ephesians turns the dial even further back before the world existed. Ephesians 1 verses 4 to 5.
God chose us in him before the foundation of the world and predestined us for adoption. Chosen before there was a single day on the calendar. And then there's Romans 9, which is the passage people either love or want to skip. Romans 9 verses 11 to 13. Jacob and Esau chosen before they had done anything good or bad. The point Paul makes, it depends on God's purpose, not on works. Romans 9 verse 21. The potter and the clay. Does the pot get to tell the potter what shape to be? If you only read these, you'd close the book convinced. It's all God. But you haven't read the rest yet. The you must choose verses. Now flip the other direction, and the Bible gets just as loud. John 3 verse 16. Whoever believes in him. Not whoever was preselected. The door is described as open to anyone. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. All. Not some. 2 Peter 3 verse 9. God is not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. That's God's stated desire right there. And it's not just a New Testament thing. The Old Testament puts the choice in your hands directly. Joshua 24 verse 15. Choose this day whom you will serve.
A command.
You can't command someone to do what they can't choose. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. I have set before you life and death, therefore choose life. God sets it before you. Revelation 22 verse 17. The very last invitation in the Bible, let the one who is thirsty come, let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Whoever wishes. If you only read these, you'd close the book equally convinced. It's all about my choice. So now you're holding both stacks. And they're both scripture. Where the Greek gets interesting. Here's where it pays to peek under the English. That word foreknew in Romans 8 verse 29 and predestined right after it are two different Greek words doing two different jobs. Greek, progenosko. To know beforehand, foreknow. English, foreknew, sounds like God simply saw the future. But the Greek word can also carry the warmer sense of setting your love on someone beforehand, the way to know someone in scripture often means intimate relationship, not just information. Greek, proorizo. To mark out or determine beforehand. Predestined comes from this, literally to draw the boundary line ahead of time. The question the whole debate turns on, did God mark out who, or mark out what, the destiny of adoption, for those he foreknew? See what just happened. The English word foreknew quietly decides the debate for you. It leans toward God just knew in advance. The Greek leaves the door open both ways. That single word is a big part of why faithful readers land in different places. The English can flatten a word until it only says one thing. The Greek often kept the question open. That's worth slowing down for. Three ways the church has read this. So how do you hold both stacks of verses at once? Here are three honest attempts. Each one is trying to keep all the verses, not just its favorites. Calvinist reading. God sovereignly and unconditionally elects. Salvation is his work from first breath to last. Even your faith is a gift he gives. Proarizo means God marked out specific people. The whoever believes verses are real invitations, and the ones who come are the ones God draws. Arminian reading. Election is grounded in God's foreknowledge of who would freely believe. Progenosko leans on new in advance. Grace is real, but can be resisted. The all and whoever verses mean exactly what they say. The offer is genuinely open to everyone. Molinist middle. Through God's middle knowledge, his knowledge of what every free creature would choose in any circumstance, God sovereignly arranges the world and your choices stay genuinely yours. An attempt to let Romans 9 and John 3 verse 16 both stand without flinching. Notice none of them ignore the verses they find hard. The honest versions of each view are wrestling with the whole Bible. That's the move worth copying, whatever you land on. So, what do you do with this? I'm not going to tell you which stack wins. That's not what this is. But here's what the Bereans did, and it's a good move. When Paul taught them, they didn't just nod and they didn't just argue. They examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so, Acts 17 verse 11. They checked the texts, eagerly, for themselves. So do that. Sit with Romans 8 and Romans 9. Then sit with John 3 verse 16 and 2 Peter 3 verse 9. Read them in context, the verses around them, the letter therein, who Paul was writing to and why. Don't grab one line and run. And here's the quiet thing underneath the whole debate. Every single one of these verses, on both sides, exists to make you more sure of God's love and more ready to come to him. Nobody on any side is trying to keep you out. God chooses. You choose. Your Bible says both, out loud, on the same pages. Maybe the work isn't to delete one. Maybe it's to hold them. Examine for yourself. Don't settle this from a blog post, including this one. Read the passages yourself in their full context. Pray over them. Then bring your questions to your local church and the believers who've walked further than you. That's where the pen belongs, in your hand, under God's word, inside his people.